Hello there and welcome to our podcast, Everyone Has a Story. My name is John Caruso. This is the podcast that complements our two popular quarterly lifestyle magazines. The winter issue of Hello Sunshine magazine is out now, covering the Sunshine Coast from Perigian down to Caloundra and across the hinterland to Montville and Mullaney. And in Noosa magazine, winter issue out very soon, covering Noosa and the hinterland up to Kinkin, Curran, Pomona, Corroy. If you'd like to be part of these two publications, reach out to our client service managers. You can reach us on Facebook and on Instagram. And now to our latest episode of the podcast. Lisa Curry has been a recognised name, or brand if you like, for 40 years. From gold medal performances in the pool to launching her own business, Happy Healthy You. And now she's preparing a new site with her husband, Mark Tabone, a property in the Sunshine Coast hinterland called Marley Retreat. Lisa's experienced the highs and the tragic lows. Everyone has a story, and Lisa has a few to share with us in this episode. The first question I asked, what is the public's perception of Lisa Curry?
Like to know what their perception of Lisa Curry is.
Why is that?
Because it interests me. There's been quite a few comments of people that say when they meet me, they realise a couple things. I'm not as tall as they thought, and I'm really nice. And which surprises me because I am a nice person, but it's the perception of what they see in the media and what they read in the media, which is often made up. Where they don't capture the real me, which is disappointing because if I meet someone in the street and they come and say hello, you know, it's all hugs and kisses and beautiful. Mm. So I don't know where people get this idea that I'm
so
not a nice
person. So
where did it start, I think because I've been in the media for nearly 40 years. That's a long time.
It is.
It's a long time. And, you know, I can go back and see magazine covers of me, you know, back in the day. And I think some people, to be honest, are pretty bloody sick of seeing me around. But other people have grown up with me. So it just depends on the attitude of the person. Because I haven't changed. Mm. And the media seem to be really interested in what I do and how I do it. And they have told me that they love having me in magazines and print because it sells. And as a business, that's what they're all about. So, of course, anything that they can get their hands on, whether it's made up or not, they know sells for them. So in knowing that over the years, I've been able to, in the nicest way, use the media for my own, you know, business purposes. And one thing that comes to mind is when I started my swimwear business with Hot Curry. It was fabulous. You know, the press were really great. Mm. I could call anyone, said, hey, I'm doing a photo shoot. Do you want some information? And I did all that on my own. We never had a PR company. I didn't have a manager. It was just me connecting with media. So in ways over the years, I've been able to kind of, I guess, work the media
to your advantage,
to my advantage, but it has a downside. So you become almost public property. So if you put yourself out there, you also have to expect the backlash of people who don't like you. And I understand that. What they don't understand, you know, when you're a troll or you're nasty to other people, it's actually pretty hurtful.
Yeah.
And you can have 100 people say how marvelous you are, and you get one person that goes, oh, not her again, I wish you'd just go away. Mm. And that hurts, that one person, but you've got to try and be bigger than that. You know, even last week there was a comment that said, I wish Lisa Curry and the Irwins would piss off from the Sunshine Coast. It's like, excuse me, we've lived here our whole life, you know. What gives you the right to just be really nasty about?
So how do you deal with that? What's your, like, defrag? Is it the gym? Is it what? How do you deal with that stuff?
Well, for one thing in particular, I got the article to turn off comments because they were hideous. Mm. We have asked a particular Facebook page not to release our press releases into their page. Because it just opens up a forum, and you know they're interesting people who make these comments, and I find they're people in their 60s and 70s.
Really?
And I made a comment back, which I don't do often, but I made a comment back saying, "Why are you all on social media? Why are you even commenting on these stories? Why aren't you out gardening or in the sunshine or playing with your grandchildren?
Yeah.
You know, why are you doing this?
Well, often, you know, that's a reflection of, I think, people who have lives that are unfulfilled.
No, I understand that. So, yeah. You know, we're trying, you know, my whole philosophy on everything that I do is trying to help people find, you know, their passions in life and go and have an adventurous life, a fun life. Like, do things that you can't wait to wake up in the morning for. Imagine waking up in the morning and going, right, I'm going to go on Facebook and I'm going to slam as many people as possible. What a dreary, boring, sad life that would be.
Where did your motivation come from? Like, what drove you and who instilled that in you? From the early days, from all the swimming records and the, and the gold medal and the international records and all that kind of stuff. What, like, your purpose when you were young? Do you remember, did you look up to someone or was it someone in me that went, okay, I'm going to be like that. That's the kind of person that...
I wanted to be like Shane Gould.
Yeah, right.
So okay. I did my projects at school on Shane Gould. But just before that, I went to the local pool and Harry Gallagher was coaching there and I was just swimming around and he saw me. And he came over and he said, can you swim a few laps for me, which I did. Harry asked if he could come and talk to my mum and dad. So he came over to our house and he said, Mr. and Mrs. Curry, one day Lisa is going to be Australia's fastest freestyler. You'd better get her teeth straightened because she's going to have a photo taken a lot. Now, that was at the age of 10. And then the 1972 Olympics were on with Shane Gould and I did my projects at school on Shane. And I thought she had blonde hair, I had blonde hair. Well, I'm going to go to the Olympics. I didn't think anything of it. I was just a kid that had a seed planted by a man that I didn't know. But I saw the dream of this girl on TV. And together I had that seed and that dream and I went training. I used to wear my togs to bed. I was so excited to get up every morning and go swimming. And I was one of the fastest 12-year-olds in the world at that time. And I think when you get a little taste of success early... But as a 12-year-old, you don't think about winning. You don't think about, whoa, you know, gee, I'm good. You just think about, oh, I love going to training because I'm going to see my friend today. And mum said she'd buy me a sausage roll if I, you know, went training every day. You know, you don't think about too many things. And I just loved it. I loved every single moment of it. In saying that, though, my dad wasn't very supportive. He didn't want me to be a swimmer.
Why not?
Because in 1972 was the era of the East Germans. And he, I guess, saw the East Germans on TV. He was seeing articles and he didn't want his little girl to end up looking like an East German. But you won't unless you took the drugs as well. But he just didn't want his little girl growing up to be big and muscly. As it was, I did grow up to be, I was very muscular, but I wasn't big. I was probably one of the smallest on the blocks in my events. But yeah, Dad wasn't, he only saw me swim probably maybe 4 or 5 times in my whole life. But he was supportive in the background. He was very proud of me, but he didn't, it's different when you hear about a success or read about a success than it is to live the success. So if you were there and you smelt the chlorine and you heard the crowd and, you know, I think it would have been much nicer for him.
Yeah. Do you feel like you missed out on anything?
I had no regrets at all.
No.
And didn't feel like I missed out on anything.
Yeah.
And in fact, if I had my time over, I'd do it all again.
Yeah. And this purpose like spills over now into your, and we want to talk about a couple of different business ventures and brands for you. Like, again, do you still have that motivation, that purpose every day when you get, like, what's your purpose in the morning when the alarm goes off?
Oh, I'd have a coffee.
Yeah. You set an alarm?
No, I don't set an alarm. No, not
after all those years of swimming, I imagine you wouldn't.
I used to wake up automatically.
Yeah.
But obviously, yes, you have to set an alarm. But back in those days when the alarm went off, it didn't even bother me. I just got up, got dressed and got going.
Yeah.
These days I go, oh, nah, I think I'll just sleep in, you know, because there's no purpose for me like there was then. Our property here is our purpose, besides my job, obviously. But, you know, you've got to make money to, to live, one to enjoy, and one to holiday with, yeah. you know. So this one here on our property where we've repurposed everything, you know, we're doing it all ourselves and it's fun and, you know, it's something we can have for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. I've just finished a really long chat with your husband, Mark. On the surface of it, it would seem like you're chalk and cheese.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
We are chalk and cheese.
What's the common ground? Like, I know how you met. He told me the story of how you met. Oh, okay. But what's the common ground between you two? Like, where do you two come together?
Yeah, it's a funny question because we are chalk and cheese, you know. But I think it's our differences that makes our life exciting. Because I would never go and watch somebody perform on stage. But I go to every gig that he's got because it's fun. And obviously I go to support him.
Yeah.
And likewise, he wouldn't go to a workshop on health and fitness, but he comes to support me. And in doing so, he's learned a lot as well about his own health. And in me supporting him, I've learned a lot by learning all the words to the songs. So I can sit there and not look like an idiot not knowing the words. So I think we both like vintage music, 60s and 70s. You know, we can often sit around and we always put music on when we're working around the property.
What kind of music? That kind of
60s
music?
60s and 70s yeah. music, yeah. I mean, I love the Bee Gees and Motown and, you know, of course he loves the Elvis and I love Elvis too. And I was in America the day he died actually. And I don't know, we love all things vintage.
Yeah.
So I had a combi. He's got a combi.
He mentioned that was the first kind of common ground that you both started talking about combis.
Yeah. But he's such a down-to-earth, quiet...
He's quiet,
sweet,
isn't he?
...sweet, kind, gentle...
Softly spoken.
Softly spoken. And then you see him on stage and you go, whoa, hang on, is that my husband?
Is he a Gemini?
Mark, August, what is he? I don't know.
Gemini,
don't, no. I don't know, I don't do.
Okay. No, neither do I. But I'm a Gemini and people often say that about me.
Yeah, yeah, but I've always been like highly driven, searching for perfection, which you never get, but you know, it always pushes your boundaries, I guess, when you're looking for it. And being with Mark has allowed me to just settle more.
Yeah.
So I'm not so, I'm still driven, but not in a, not that it's a pushy way, but in a quieter way,
yeah.
just a softer way. But in sport, you have to be selfish and you have to push yeah. hard and you have to, you know, take no prisoners. It doesn't matter who you're standing up next. I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
You know, and I've done the work to prove
it. But isn't it, because you were talking about this perception and stuff, but at the elite level of any sport, the only people that get to the top are the people with a little bit of mongrel in them. Mm. I mean, they're the people that are willing to do... I mean, and I spoke to Mark Webber many episodes ago about this. Now, you know, he's at one stage he was the highest paid Aussie sportsman around. Never won a world championship, won 14 Grand Prix. But he wasn't prepared to do the things that you had to do to get to the very, very top.
Yeah, but it's an internal feeling. You can be an internal, really hard-ass asshole, you know, whatever you want to call it internally, but the real assholes are the ones who verbalize it.
Yeah, you don't need to display that.
No, because when you stand behind the blocks, you know, the internal voice that you have, you wouldn't want people to hear it, you know, because you're going to smash everyone that comes in your way. You know, how dare they line up next to me, I know what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, you have this sort of little internal talk, but you don't, it's not external. No one ever hears it. But you don't need to have that sometimes when you know you've done the work.
Yeah.
If you know you've done the work, which I always did, I was completely prepared every single time I got up on the blocks. And if I wasn't, it showed in my results.
Yeah.
So I analyze it and go back. Work on it, do it again, do it again, do it again.
Was the establishment of a property like Marley, was that a common goal for you and Mark?
Yeah.
Mark said that you, did you find the land and then he came up, or was it something that you spoke about?
Well, it was on our, we were having breakfast one morning and he had just told me that he'd separated from his wife. And I, not long after, found myself single as well. But the conversation was talking about what we wanted to do, and they were exactly the same, like slightly different, but pretty much the same of having you know, a vintage style. I always wanted to run retreats, and we both love the vintage style, and he wanted to open his own little like cafe and vintage shop in Melbourne, and kind of all just fell together. Because this dream I've had for about 10 years, but I realized I couldn't do it on my own, so I put it on the shelf. I wanted to do it for a long time. But when you have someone that you can share the dream with and can share the hard work with, it makes it so much easier and so much better and so much more fun.
Yeah.
And we've had a ball just doing all of this. And, yeah. you know, it's been hard at times, but... it's worth it now yeah. when we sit back and go, wow, look what we've done.
It's an amazing spot. Who does all the maintenance? It's massive.
Me.
Well, Mark said you hop on the rider.
Yeah. Well, not during winter, which is great because I get a break. But over summer, pretty much at 4:30 until 6:30, I'm on the mower.
Yeah.
And I just, but you know what? I love doing it and I don't mind doing it. It's therapy for me, it's meditation for me.
Yeah.
No one can get to me. You can look around and go, wow, that looks good.
Yeah.
You know, but while I'm on the mower, yeah. But while I'm on the mower, he's doing something else. So when we're not sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, not one person does all the work. So I always say, hey, it'd be really good if we could do this here. And he goes, okay, another project. But then, you know, he's down at the local, down the bunker down at Biwa getting some more, you know, timber, and we just build stuff.
It looks amazing. Tell me about the kind of retreats that you want to run here at Marley.
Well, we understand together how busy our lives have been, living out of suitcases and traveling, and how busy other people's lives have been. We want to create a place where people can come and just relax and almost reinvent themselves by thinking about what's important in their lives. I do a little group session with everyone where we go through their goals and their passions and narrow them down until we, you know, come out with three top things that we can see ourselves doing, you know, for the rest of our lives. And it makes people stop and think, because sometimes when you're on the roller coaster, you know, you're so busy doing the same thing every day.
Are there any commonalities in those three things that people say they want to achieve in life?
Peacefulness and contentment.
Yeah.
Of having the time to sit and reflect on their lives. You know, people don't want to keep working when they're 70 or 80, you know.
Yeah.
Setting up themselves for the future is important too. So with these workshops, we will bring in professionals, you know, health professionals, yoga professionals, we'll bring in, you know, domestic violence professionals, relationship professionals. We can bring in financial professionals as well, because a lot of women over the age of 50 might find themselves either widowed or divorced, alone for the first time, you know, have been dependent on a male for 30 years, yeah. and all of a sudden find themselves unable to even, you know, work out how to do internet banking. So it's really important that we can run workshops where people can walk away and go, right, I know what I need to do with my life. I know what path I'm going to take now, and we give them some tools to take away with them. And then, of course, Mark can do the entertainment at nighttime, so it's fun as well.
Yeah.
We won't be running health retreats. Well, we can, and we might.
Because you've got the happy hormone to your business.
Yeah,
as well.
But when I say health retreats, people love a drink.
Yeah.
So they love to have a wine and they love to have a cocktail. So yeah. we have adventure retreats. We can run health retreats as well. Yes, and of course, that's my other side, where we have my business, Happy Healthy You. Yeah. My business partner lives over in Mauritius, but he's Australian. And, you know, we have 20 staff, we have over 400,000 women in our groups. So we know what women want. We know what women love. We know what women hate. We know what women are obsessed with and are depressed by.
What was the catalyst for you for starting that business?
That was my own hormonal problems that I had for many, many years. And very coincidentally, I was put in contact with Jeff. And he diagnosed me with hormonal imbalance. Before then, before it had a name, I just thought I was being a bitch. Because, you know, you're moody and you're tired and you throw things and you don't know what it is. But, you know, chlorine didn't help. you know, 30 years being in the pool where your skin absorbs, you know, the chlorine. That didn't help at all. The high intensity of pushing yourself every single day, where you stress your body, that didn't help either. Childbirth, you know, all these things on top of each other add up to a body that's, you know, been distressed over the years. And it manifests in different ways. So, you know, the body's very good at telling you what it needs. So Jeff and I started this nearly 7 years ago now. And, yeah, we've got over 400,000, 500,000 women. I don't know if the latest numbers are a lot.
That's good.
In our groups. And, you know, when we have retreats here, we'll have our staff come up and, you know, talk about nutrition and weight loss, endometriosis, PCOS, you know, domestic violence, how to cook. You know, we might even have ones.
You good
cook? No, no. Well, people eat my food only because there's no other food.
Yeah.
I prefer not to cook. I don't particularly enjoy it. I can make a really beautiful meal, but I'd rather eat someone else's food.
You have so many experiences, Lisa, and you should put it in a book.
Funny about that.
Yes?
Yeah.
You having some thoughts about putting it all down in writing?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm 60 next year, and I always wanted to write a book on my 60th, so
yeah,
I might do that.
Was the SBS program the first time you spoke about domestic violence?
Yeah. Oh, look, I did mention it when I was in the jungle, when I was in Africa. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Right. Okay.
We did mention it then, but it was the first time. It's really hard to talk about because I love my dad. You know, he was a great man. He was very good at what he did. He was very driven, which is probably where I got my drive from. And my love for him and my dislike for what he did to my mum is a real struggle. It's a real pull of emotions. Because my mum, she's still alive. She's 86 and kicking on well. But she didn't die from domestic violence, but she's not lived from it either. So she's really just, you know, existed with the constant reliving of events, you know, day in, day out for her, which is horrible.
Yeah, historically, what's the...
And, you know, it affects people for a long, long time. And, you know, even domestic violence or verbal abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse is just as bad, you know, because some people just can't get through those words. I mean, you know, a friend of mine had some verbal abuse from a partner and, you know, she ended up being an anorexic because the things that he used to call her, you know, and it's horrific.
And you've reached out because of that. You mentioned, or maybe it was off before we started recording, but you've reached out to the hairdresser. What was that about the domestic violence and support group?
Yes. So I had to speak at a function one day and it was... they were also promoting a charity at Bribie Island and Sonia Colvin, who's a hairdresser, she got up and spoke about this little charity that she'd started called Hairdressers with Hearts. And gee, you know, she really touched me with her speech. People ask me to be an ambassador for their charity all the time. And you can't spread yourself thin over lots of charities. And I've been very particular in what I've supported over the years. But Sonia said a few things that really hit home to me. So she has started this charity called Hairdressers with Hearts. And it's about training all hairdressers and barbers around the country to be the link between domestic violence victims and support groups. Mm-hmm. So if ladies feel, or men, feel unsafe, they can go to a hairdresser and the hairdresser can put them in contact with someone that they can talk to. And there's been, you know, I think Sonia herself, as one hairdresser, has helped over 120 people from her salon, from her area. So imagine if every hairdresser or barber had that capability, you know, there'd be a lot more people being directed to the right place.
What a great initiative.
Mm.
Describe, like, what would be the perfect day for you? It's not on the ride-on, is it? Like, what would be the...
what makes you happy
when you get up in the morning? Describe, like, a a day that makes you happy, that gives you great satisfaction.
Apart from the fact that I still have to work every day, if I took a few days off, which I have lately because I've had to, so I have a perfect day for me would be get out of bed and I have a coffee in bed. Often Mark brings it in to me, which is lovely. I give my dog a pat. She's often on the bed. She comes in about 6:30 in the morning. And then if I can get up and put my work clothes on and my gum boots, and I just either go out on the mower or I go out and, I don't know, prune or help Mark make
spend
something.
Time outdoors.
Just outdoors being useful. It feels useful. You know, we recently carved out a walking track here. So when people come to the retreats, you know, there's a beautiful walking track out the back. And, you know, we've done that, you know, or making some signs or, you know.
A sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. But everything I do has that same sense of accomplishment, but it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was at the beach the other day and I used to live on the ocean.
I was going to say, you know, when you have such a passion for water and swimming as you do, because we live at Doonan, which isn't as far away from the ocean as here, but do you miss the water? You miss living by the ocean?
Well, I did the other day.
But not anymore.
Oh, no, no. When I'm there, I miss it because it was such a big part of me for so long. Yeah, I do miss it. I have a unit at Alex as well, which is rented out.
Yeah.
But I think once they move out, I might, you know, maybe not rent it out for a little while so I can keep going backwards and forwards. But my kids and grandkids are down there. So, you know, when I say down there, it's only 40 minutes away, but still, it's not like 5 minutes.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you think is really important in terms of what you're doing here or what you and Mark are trying to accomplish here? Or
my whole being in my life, I've always... See, when I was at school, I wanted to be a PE teacher. And a PE teacher teaches people. And I think in a way I've become that person still, even though I'm not a PE teacher. I became a personal trainer with my business now, with helping and educating and informing as many people as possible. One of the reasons why I wrote my first book was because I couldn't get to the amount of people that I wanted to get to through what I was doing. So I thought if I wrote a book, I could get to more people. So 6 books later, and, you know, a lot of people still have my books, you know, tucked away. I often find them at op shops. They're 50 cents.
Yeah.
So I buy them because, you know, people still still want them. So I think my passion lies in trying to help somebody else stand on their own dice and feel that sense of accomplishment that I know feels good. But it may not be in sport, may not be a medal, but just to stand up and say, you know what, I actually love what I do and I feel good about it. And when people feel like that, they can pass it on to other people around them, particularly their kids.
Lisa Curry was my guest today on Everyone Has a Story. If you're listening via Apple or Stitcher or maybe Wooshka, please rate and review this episode, this podcast. And if you think there's something in this podcast that others might relate to, feel free to share it about on your social media networks. Until next time, take care.